And I think that as somebody who is not involved in the organization, and who in fact generally tries to suggest that it's a big job to organize such a workshop, I think we should thank the organizers for it and the chair. Maybe now they believe us for saying it's a big job. I'm very conscious of giving the last talk after many talks, and therefore I want to emphasize that I was once at a conference in the interdisciplinary conference in which the last talk was a comedian to make everybody go home and feel good. And I'm not a very good comedian, but if you laugh a few times while you hear these ideas, you'll be happy about one time, so don't suppress yourself. Because these are the set of ideas that we laugh quite a bit while we were doing this work. This work is forward-looking. It is about Lujan and Bradley, but not only Lujan and Bradley, and it has to expand the domain of questions and problems that Lujan and Bradley addresses and they solve, or another theory of Lujan and Bradley. And it's a collaborative work with the team. The work, by the way, I guess the title wrong, and I gave the wrong title to the organizers, the real title is Part of Business. The work starts by learning about some issues about locality in Blue Quantum Gravity, some of which were the issues that the teenagers were just mentioning. I intend to begin to worry about the issue of locality. Then we'll talk about the options which are available once you worry about them. And then we'll talk about non-local effects in Blue Quantum Gravity. Which is where hopefully we'll get some laughs, and then we'll Now, several speakers have referred to issues about locality, and just to build on what we're taking close to talk with, the basic issue is that we use structures like beach states and skin foams and so forth, which look like they come from thinking the space is a bunch of little things put together. Okay. And locality, and your notions of locality and causality on each skin foam, or notions of locality in each skin network, things are connected to each other. And we much of the time like to believe that in low energy limits, the notions of locality and causality that arise in the real world, in the process which we have in nature, will correspond to those. But if we're honest, you have to remember that we hope to make classical limits not out of one skin network, a skin foam, or causal set, but out of superpositions of them. So what guarantees that a coherent notion of locality will arise from superposing over objects which have many different versions of locality and causality? If they didn't, we would be moving quantum gravity, increasing the quantum gravity or maybe causal structure. Is there a pointer? Was there a pointer? Who knows? Okay.
Maybe it is.
Oh, here it is. Okay. And you fished a big deal, but good. Okay. I'm going to make you worry, and then we'll see what happens when we're worried. So Luca Mandela and several other speakers talked about weeds, and let me raise the issue of whether weed constructions have to be metal. There's only one of several ways to worry about it. So as Luca told us a couple of days ago, a state is a weed if, when you measure, you start with some classical background measure, and you want to construct a quantum state such that if you take large surfaces and measure the expectation value of the areas in that quantum state, and the expectation values of large regions, you get values that agree with the classical values that come from that measure plus quantum scale fluctuations. And Luca told us to consider a regular state that is a single graph, but where all the edges of the graph have a single skin J and all the nodes have a single which minor I. We can call that a regular graph state. A local weave is a weave where all the links connect nodes of order L comp apart in the background metric. Now, Luca has some studies satisfying those conditions like the granted seeds. It turns out you can't. On a given Ivy state, if you can, if you make superpositions of leaf states, and of course, we expect superpositions for dynamical reasons, and it turns out you can satisfy these conditions. And that's a basic calculation. For example, you can satisfy them with the leaf if n is also one, and nodes of volume 0, volume 2 in the usual way, so that people are able to get anchorized. And there are more details on this slide than I'm to say. But supposing you construct an isolocal leaf on an isolocal lattice that obeys Lucas conditions, and you can by following the indications there. Supposing I've done that. Now, various people have been talking about quantum gravity phenomenology. The typical thing they do is they study these with very impressive works, very non-trivial. They study fermions and electromagnetism and gauge fields or Higgs fields moving on such a background. And they reproduce an effective description, which is in terms of quantum field, cutoff quantum field theories on the manifold Q. But what if I change the leaf a little bit? I take this edge here, and I just break all those links, and I move the volume of one of those nodes, no longer there, to the red nodes. So the green nodes have a certain volume eigenvalue, and the red nodes have twice that. And those are, and it is, that is in fact about the spectrum of the volume of the gravity, which you have guys or twice the volume of other guys. So I just move, double the volume of all the red nodes, and eliminate all the nodes there. And then I have an edge which runs from here to here without going anywhere in between. And assume that from there to there is megaparsecs or kilometers. Well, that will satisfy all the same conditions. So satisfying the leaf conditions doesn't guarantee you that you have a local state. It's an additional assumption we often make. And the leaf conditions don't enforce it. And then, however, if you study fermion moving on its background, all of a sudden the fermion there, at that point, boy, it's not hooked in the grid. The fermion there is interacting directly with the fermion there, megaparsecs away, and you've broken locality. So there's an issue with non-locality in leaves. Okay? Now, this kind of problem occurs in many other programs in quantum gravity. It was basically an issue that is very easy to take a continuous world, a continuous description of space, and break it up into a discrete approximation, but it's very hard to go backwards. And because once you're in the discrete world of graphs or causal sets or something like that described combinatorially, almost no object in that discrete world comes from a nice approximation to a continuous object. For example, here's what happens in locality. I can start with a graph, and now I have some dynamics. Dynamics changes the graph by, for example, adding edges, subtracting edges. So how can I add an edge? Let's just add an edge randomly. Well, there are d is a dimension times n the number of nodes, ways to add an edge which is local, but there are n squared ways to add an edge which is not local. And if the dynamics is combinatorial and graphical and not doesn't know about the continuum, then there's an instability. Why should those edges not arise? So we don't know, again, there are things we don't know about the dynamics, but that's the kind of issue that we're worried about. Other such issues that we're listening to call the set program and the dynamical triangulation program. Again, it's the same thing. It's very easy to approximate classical objects with discrete objects. Nobody in any of these theories knows how to write down the dynamics in the discrete context that they're teasing versions of classical objects. Okay. So these are the locality problems, what we call the inverse problem. What are we to do about these problems? One, focal problems are solved by dynamics. Since we're free to play with the dynamics, invent the dynamics, hope the dynamics makes it go away. And if it does, you can ignore the rest of my talk. On the other hand, nobody has ever shown that could work in any of these research programs. Two, says the theory is wrong. But almost every theory is going to be wrong. So we want to look for theory reasons like theory is going to be wrong, and this is a good reason. On the other hand, these issues are generic. Whenever you have a program of quantum geometry, it results in a discrete structure. So a lot of things would appear to be wrong. The third is learning to live with non-locality and love it, or at least be amused by it. Could, in fact, if our world is a skin foam or a weave state, could there be all sorts of non-locality, all sorts of non-local edges that we never draw, we never compute with, all around us? So, because we were worried about this, we've been studying some models. A typical model is a regular lattice or a weave on which we just throw on a random distribution of long-range links, expressed probabilistically. We can say there's some probability p that two nodes n and m are connected by some link over a long range. And we've been studying, for example, how matter fields propagate on such backgrounds, on such fields, in approximations in which this probability for any two to be connected is small. And we have been found, actually, that there are four different ways so far in which this may not be so crazy. One of them is a natural way that matter fields emerge, which I'll tell you about in a moment. Then there's some possibility of large macroscopic effects, which I'll tell you about if I have time. There are also cosmological implications, which we're just keeping to work on also with OVA. And then we presented in Marseille and did a paper about using these non-local links as a certain variable for a model of quantum mechanics. And this day, I only have time and best to talk about those two applications. Now, if lukewarm gravity really unifies gravity with quantum mechanics, shouldn't we be talking about the rest of physics? That is, our friends, the string theorists, have a program of unification which is very interesting and impressive, higher dimensional, etc. Most other approaches to quantum gravity have something to say about matter. Well, consider a spin network with an non-local link with a spin 1/2 edge. Like that. And let me even decorate it with the gauge field. So suppose you have gravity coupled to an SUN gauge field, which you know how to deal with very well in loop quantum gravity, but nothing else. So I color also a loop there with a fundamental representation n of the gauge loop g. So it's colored by 1/2 n. And you work with states like that in loop quantum gravity all the time. Except you don't draw that, we don't have big non-local things. Now, suppose I'm a local observer here. I can't see that it goes from here to some other point and somebody's giving a lecture in another galaxy. So this looks like a place where there's just a defect in the gauge conditions, in the local gauge conditions, where there's some spin 1/2 sitting there, and there's an n of s to n. So it looks like a charged fermion. So, non-locality looks like charged matter. And by the way, unlike supersymmetry, which is another idea that you find geometry and matter, we naturally get fermions in the fundamental representation of the gauge field rather than in the actual representation. So, small amount of non-locality is nothing to be afraid of. If there's 10 to the 80 non-local links spread through the universe, maybe 10 to the 80 charged particles, how do we know? Or another way to say it is, once you allow this to be non-locality, we naturally have an incorporation of matter. And we find gravity, there is matter in nature. So why not? But, and this is more than drawing pictures, this implies that the dynamics and the interactions of matter fields have to already be determined when I've given you the gravity dynamics. Because if And of course, this is an old idea, matter without matter, it goes back to John Wheeler and earlier in the galaxy of Riemann and so forth. If particles, for us fermions, etc., fermions may be possible scalar particles, come from something in the geometry, the dynamics is determined by the dynamics of gravity. So let's look at it in a little detail about it. So here's a model, which is 5x spin networks, just could be a 2 plus 1 dimensional theory with these local moves. This is, for example, the model of causal spin networks that Otini studied some time ago. And one can do 3 plus 1 dimensional things with 4 bend nodes, etc. Those who know how to do it can, by the time this problem is over, have done the corresponding change that I'm going to show here, but it's just easier to draw. So, supposing there's a pure gravity amplitude with some amplitude to this exchange move, and you can take your favorite one, and these labels may also have SUN gauge theory labels as well. And let's assume that this line here is the spin 1/2 line and goes really far away. So, there's still the same amplitude. So we know the amplitude for that move. And what does it give us? It gives us a fermion, spin 1/2 particle, jumping from here to here, propagating on the spin network. Okay? So, let's just notice something about that. There's a standard Lupin gravity fermion amplitude to jump on a spin network. It's a function of the color of the x that jumps on, so I call that f of 1. And notice that to jump from here to here is twice the elementary fermion move. So the gravity amplitude, which is relevant there, is related to the square. It's related to equals to the square of the fermion propagation amplitude. And that's familiar. The idea that fermions are in some sense square roots of bosonic things is happening again here, as it happens in so many other places. Well, not only do we get propagation amplitudes for matter, we get interactions between the matter particles. Supposing I have there be a spin 1 boson sitting on a spin network, a particular spin network. Suppose that our hypothesis is right, that's really a non-local spin 1 edge going way off from another galaxy, somewhere else there. Now, let's see what happens when we evolve that by the local moves. Now, we only are using moves that are local in the spin network, but local in the spin network is no longer local in the space. That is, when I'm referring to space, I'm assuming these things are embedded in a state that is semi-classical, such that there is an effect of classical negative such as that, and maybe cars such as that. But it's still local in the spin network, so you can evolve it by the local move. I just take that little piece of the graph and evolve it by a local move. And I get that. And if you look at that for a minute, what does that look like for the observer who doesn't know that particles are really non-local things? What happens is the spin 1 particle became a fermion and an anti-fermion. Not only that, the amplitude for that transition to happen is equal to a gravity transition. So the dynamics of matter, not only does matter in some picture drawing way come from non-local things, but the dynamics of matter fields come from the dynamics of gravitation. So this raises a bunch of issues. First, what kind of statistics do these objects have? So, I've been talking a little bit today about that. I want to talk more. But what, the issue is, we're not in a background of concrete areas. We don't have the moment in statistics here. But there are various people who have investigated, especially them, whether you can have spin statistics theorem in the background in a independent context like this. And their creation, they tell me, goes a long way to implying usual spin statistics relation. And that's something to be investigated. Another interesting thing is, of course, that the discrete symmetries like CP and CPT of the matter sector, are inherited from the symmetries of gravity. So the matter theory would be CPT invariant, the gravity amplitudes are. And let's note that the matter sector is not CP invariant. Therefore, the thematic couplings are inherited in the gravity couplings, since the gravity couplings cannot be subpoenaed therein. And that's a very interesting issue going back to the early days of the Ashtakar formalism. For example, Chopin Sue speculated that the gravity amplitudes, since the Ashtakar formalism is higher, the gravity amplitudes might be subpoenaed therein. Then, as if we're talking about spin 1 half and spin 1, but we actually get a tower part of the piece of spin. So it looks a little bit like the emergence of something called spinning. And again, I want to emphasize this is the unification in which fermions appear in fundamental representations rather than advent representations. Also, to get all the matter, I said to be able to work effectively, we need the probability of the non-multiple input systems to be small. This is just numerology that says that even if all the charged matter that we know about in nature is just ends in non-multiple links, there are 10 to the 100 times more local links than non-multiple links. So we can work in an approximation where they're there. Okay. Now, if there's so many, if they're rare, there's still so many non-multiple links, could there be still more which are just uncharged? And might there be other effects? Now, here's where we're going to laugh, or I'm going to get really nervous, and I just have a few minutes to tell you about this set of ideas. Certain people are coming to believe, certain scholars, that there is evidence for non-locality in very, very low energy systems. And this one way to get into it is to look at the Pauli-Fischer relations. Now we're going to be very chronological for a minute. We know since a long time that galaxy rotation curves become flat on the far end. It's a challenge to explain them. There are different hypotheses to explain them. And one way to try to understand them is exactly the relationship between the velocity, when the velocity of stars in the galaxy goes flat, and any other attribute of the galaxy. It turns out it's a very good relationship to luminosity. Luminosity is proportional to the fourth power of the velocity, or it's experimented with 2.9 plus or minus 2 power. And if you convert luminosity to matter, then you get matter being proportional to the fourth power of the velocity. The amount of matter that the galaxy has is greater than physical matter. This constant here should be proportional to this constant, because surely when you turn up the strength of gravity, the stars go around faster. And so the resulting constant proportionality that you get out is an acceleration. But this exact measure is measuring it off of that. And you notice you barely see that at that sharp for some proposed relation in astrophysics. Measuring this constant off the data, which is the acceleration, it happens to be 1.2 United States centimeters per second squared, which is the same order of magnitude as the square of the cosmological constant and the speed of light squared. And that's something that people are increasingly worried about. Now, there's a proposal to explain the Pauli-Fischer relation called the Mohn proposal, which I'll explain briefly if you haven't heard it. And the main thing is that this is a phenomenological description that, if it's true, points to non-locality. The Pauli-Fischer proposal is that there is this critical acceleration, and that if you're considering a star looking at a galaxy, for an accelerator, as long as the acceleration is greater than this critical acceleration, you use Newton's law. But if the acceleration predicted by Newton's law is less than this critical acceleration, you should use the square root of the product between Newtonian acceleration and this critical acceleration. And that square root means that the gravitational force falls off like 1 over radius. And to just on differential equations, if you want to have a three-dimensional force that's falling off like 1 over r rather than 1 over r squared, that can't be the solution of a local field equation. It involves one way or the other non-locality. And one way to see this is that there's a scale, the critical scale for every galaxy, which is roughly the square root of the Schwarzschild radius and the Hubble constant, which is coming in. That is, when you're that far out along the galaxy, your acceleration falls from one regime to another regime. And it's easy to see that if you're in the Mohn regime, when you produce that the fourth power of the velocity is proportional to Newton's constant and to mass. Okay. Now, another way to say it, which I'll just use in a minute, is that the gravitational potential in this region becomes larger, and that's the form of the potential. Now, this makes no sense at all. It's non-local, it's inconsistent with relativity. John Moffat will say he has a proposal which is consistent with relativity, and he very well may, but it's not trivial to make it consistent with relativity. Why should we take this seriously? And why we should take it seriously is it does really well when confronted with data. That stupid simple formula, which is inconsistent with everything we know, especially locality, does really well when used to try to predict the rotation curves of the individual galaxies. This one, this another, there's a whole bunch more. They have more than 80 such cases in which their detail fits between that stupid ball and galaxies. 84, they have 11 where the fits are not too good. And so maybe we should take this seriously. And if we take it seriously, it means we're thinking about non-locality, I think. I mean, maybe there's a field theory that can explain this, but naively, again, if you have a potential which is falling off like 1/r, it means you have field lines that are jumping, because the conservation of field lines tells me the potentials, I'm sorry, the forces fall off like 1/r². And there's a serious relationship to the cosmological scale. In the data, as you can read off the value of the Hubble scale in the Tully-Fisher relation, which is data, the galaxy, something not seen in the picture. So, we were inspired to try to think, supposing our hypothesis is right, and there are lots of non-local links, can we explain it? Can we at least constrain something about the number of distribution of these non-local links from this data? And so playing with it, one realizes that what emerges is something like a discrete version of the biometric theory. And it's interesting that the theories in a continuum that confront this data, like Beckenstein and John Moffat's, are biometric theories. That is, there's two ways of measuring the distance between two points. There's the distance r going through the lattice, and there's another distance d, which jumps, which allows you to go through the lattice and then jump, which you can, which is shorter. And what we needed to do was make a model where we estimate D as a function of R, given the probability distribution, for a link to be, for a node to be connected non-locally to another node, a distance R away in the background. We made a little model like that. And which I'll tell you about in a minute. And then we made the physical ansatz that Newton's law is right, but the distance in Newton's law is the distance using the possibility of jumping across non-local links. So this d, which given a statistical model of the random distribution of non-local links is a function of r. So if you get that's the basic setup. Since we've been here a long time, I'll skip the details, except to tell you that this is the same, this is like solving a certain kind of percolation problem. Like if you're in a very complicated subway system, estimating whether you should take an express train or not, and how much time to save by taking an express train. If you sit down and think about how to solve a given statistical distribution of non-local links, you get a relationship between the expected distance possibly jumping on non-local links and the distance in the background which uses the probability distribution for non-local links. And this is how they do the calculation. Let me just point to the results here. And basically, if somebody wants to come back and try to explain it. And we use that to constrain the distribution of non-local links. So what we're modeling here is supposing there are a lot of non-local links coming from stars in the galaxy, stars flicker out. What would the probability distribution look like if it's the same job? And we get an answer. That is, we have to solve dynamics to get an answer. which is consistent with what we know, that is, if two stars are closer together, if a star is closer to the center of the galaxy than at critical distance, then it most probably, its closest distance, its choice distance to the center of the galaxy will be blue in the background, and if it's further than that, it will jump at least once, and this, if the probability distribution falls off logarithmically from that point, then you can match data. So it's very much like a handmade model, but for example, one can check that there's a normalization factor, which is a kind of fudge factor, but taking it to be 1, the probability for any two nodes to be connected non-locally is 10 to the minus 200 and something, so that we're still in the regime where the non-local links are rare. I'm just going to summarize now. We have some more about that, but I think we've been here a long time. And I hope I provoked you. As I said, you're also, we're studying using that model as a kind of fitting variable for quantum theory, where we do not define dynamics of the statistical mechanics of solid wave freedom. And we published one paper and others, and it's work in progress. Relating this directly to biometric theories to have a kind of microscopic version of biometric theories which may play a role in the universe. So just to summarize, I argued that we have a problem with quantum locality. We haven't been straight about with ourselves, that is, we draw lots of pictures of spin networks and spin foams in which everything looks like a nice local lattice and a nice local weave, but there's nothing in the formulation of the theory or the dynamics that forces us to do that. Therefore, there could be non-locality in the states that we use. And I argued that if there's not too much non-locality, it isn't actually a problem because the leading order manifestation of non-locality is what a statistical physicist would call defects that have all the properties of non-locality particles. And moreover, we get a new idea about the unification of gravity stage field matter that's predictive, that is strongly constraining. As far as we know, there's no room for fudge factors, there's no room for millions of different classifications to give you millions of different answers to how hard physics is being. And if you put in still more non-local links than you need charged ones to make particles, you do get microscopic effects on reasonable assumptions. On the other hand, there is data that points possibly to the existence of such microscopic effects. So I'll stop there. Very deserving. John has been very much an inspiration for this book. So I'll say that before he cuts us a fight.
Speaking of Mike.
You need to make the computer's constant run in the distance, and also the entropy and problems in the entropy. The entropy coupling constant has to run, so you have to introduce something like a symbolic state of theory. And when you do that, you have an effective interaction. When you construct effective interactions between the gravity, you have to introduce non-locality. This is how you do it. So in the end, this gravity field, I agree with you entirely, we come back to the same position. In order to describe the application thing, you do need a non-local connection between the microscopic and the macroscopic, which is programs of social programs.
So just to say, there is unspoken on the ground, and one of the things which I'm looking at, there's an issue, mine has to cut off at some point. And this model does cut mine off at some point. And where it cuts off is predicted from here, and that gives rise to predictions about what lack of energy and what effective mass is seen by an observer far from the galaxy. And we can talk about it.
Yeah, well, I'm not my gravity, the planetation for the intervention cuts off.
Has the
intervention seen the difference between the two of the models?
So that's not going to be so good about that. Anyway.
When you see the solid of the moon, that we I don't see how you could, because you should also carry mass or momentum, and how is the mass momentum is including the gravity of the two.
So that's a very good question. How do you get mass? How do they, so I think the right answer to that is the usual thing that one says to go between the fundamental theory and the macroscopic effective theory, which is that if the cosmological constant is small, we don't know what the theory of the mechanism or the fine-tuning of the cosmological small, cosmological constant small, so the universe is big, the quantum universe, then, supposing I make chiral fermions in these three in the Planck scale, their dynamics, whatever it is in Planck scale, because they're chiral and therefore their mass wall, people like them better, on super long space, their mass is protected from Planck corrections as you go to make your effect through long and longer distances. You have to get that their dynamics to start with leading one by the bio equation. And similarly, the dynamics of gauge fields, if there is a long distance limit, has to be dominated by the Van-Mills terms. And our sets is that all we have to do is introduce the gauge used to gauge field, and B, solve the problem that Tini was talked about, and other people talked about, but this doesn't get right solved, which is why there's a long range effective theory, which looks like general relativity coupled to quantum fields. And then those who basically came whose masses are protected by gauge symmetries or chiral symmetries will look like light rays of helium at macroscopic scales.
I was pre-trained to hold the idea that your matter does not matter coming from this.
Coming from, okay, so I wasn't prepared at all the idea, that matter is coming from this non-local, this freedom, and your second issue, the connection with the mon idea. But I think it would not have all, because this flat rotation occurs in a region where there is almost no matter. We get them basically from this gas, very, 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 low density amount of gas. And on the other hand, you expect that if matter comes from matter, then most non-local connections will occur where most matter is, that is closer to the center of the galaxy.
So this is an issue we started to learn about. That's just accounting that convinces you that you need many more non-local things to make the mon connection work than you do with the accounted for by charged matter. So it would mean that it would mean that there are many, many links which are uncharged. And here's a comment from my collaborator. At the end of one of these uncharged links, just by the same discussion, looks like an uncharged particle. So there's a duality between bond here, something mon-like and non-local-like, and something dark matter-like. They may not be distinct proposals. That is, the whole dark matter particles might just be these ends, and it might be useful to look at it both ways. This is a speculative comment, but it's as far as I'm going to address the best of all.
I'm a little confused how you get from the existence of multiple links, that's consumer than Earth. So you're having more local interactions. Maybe I'm missing the point here, but wouldn't that seem to imply that these modules are linked in your string network? They're actually traversable wormholes.
Traversable
wormholes that energy conditions wouldn't have used, because you have to run the Nolskis.
So, of course, I didn't fill that in, and we don't have to fill the logic that we're working with is the following thing. Suppose you have a scenario where with local string forms and local string networks, we'll reproduce the Newtonian limit. And by the way, I want to point out that, to my knowledge, our chance talk today is the first time I've actually seen Newton's gravitational potential emerge from a calculation of quantum gravity. And that's been missing for a very, very, very long time. So the logic is, supposing you have something like that that works in the theory where you suppress non-locality, then add in a little bit of non-locality, what will the correction be? And that's what we're arguing. We're definitely level of arguing heuristically, and we just argued heuristically that the notion of distance would be related to the graph and counting distance on the graph. But we certainly have not derived that from the graph theory and anything else.
You could get a brief reference to spin statistics theory, but it doesn't seem like this model counts as identical particles very well. Because suppose you want to have two electrons and two positrons, then to get the correct sort of wave function, you would actually have to always have the escape, it's the difference of the connected one way and the connected and the commuted way. And it doesn't. I don't see how that restriction would come about.
That's an interesting remark. And the question is, can they be, if you don't know where the ends go, you're making an effective quantum description in a little region. Like, can you regard it as identical particles? Because from the point of view of all the particles in the local region, they're identical. And I don't know the answer to that. Yes.
So this is a comment. With local dynamics, that is very, if you look for what is the vacuum, for example, that would be the ideal heat, that the vacuum is very more local. You can just get it from the CO's in network, where iterating some local transfer matrix, but you have to iterate it continuously. So you do generate something that will look no longer for us. There the element of space and time. There are examples of it no longer for us.
So let me just make a comment about that. Suppose we have an element. This is another way that we work on it. Suppose we have an element, which was local in terms of kinetic space, it measured the energy of what we use there. Suppose we zero for some global state, and that's what we can reduce a non-local limit connector to the very cross. You can't raise the energy very much by something that's very local into the regions. So why should that be suppressed very much by the Hamiltonian? So that's the first thought. And the second thought is maybe you raise the energy by the energy of two parts.
So this idea of particles is units of spin network and suspension around for a while, and I just wanted to point out that around quite could be interpreted. Well
actually, very much, yes. I'm sorry, we should have taken that.
Yes. So if quantum systems are using 2 plus 1 gravity, it's all set up, so it has these vibrators have the particles exhibiting right dynamics. Those are ends of spin numbers, but one interesting thing we could do would be to see if you could make a long edge in a spin network to a local observer that would look like an end of a spin network.
Yeah.
And you could even use, since you can actually calculate things, you could calculate things like the answer to the question that Eli raised, like you do these kind of particles of the right statistics and so on.
Yes. Yes, and by the way, so very much, and we have brought that in Shiv's set. They're easy things to track. 2 + 1 = 2 + 1 = 1. So then we also say that, in some way, I think Daniela reminded me that the idea that the amplitude of the Fermi isotropics in home squared would give the gravity amplitudes is an old idea in the subject. You can find some papers that Carl was speculating about and something called shift operators, none of which really worked at the time. But very much is reminiscent of this idea of realization from 2 + 1.
Some years ago, this was the first work by Starbuck Hawking and Sigmund Pong, and everybody for about one month thinking about just the fact that some similar, we have very small workholes, and somehow they run the running cost in small areas. Is there a relation
I don't know. I mean, you're reminding me, because I haven't thought about this. But I guess it was a big thing where the type particle concept would be statistically zero in a quantum theory gravity of the gas form. So look at it and let's look at it and see.
It certainly didn't make sense. Now I think still in wood and like the R also like in Mexico after the workshop we get especially the young people with an opportunity to raise questions which is in a non-critical just understanding questions. So go ahead. In speakers or not speakers for a moment doesn't matter. You're still young. It's a good start.
Juan raised an issue of.
So, people are coming here, yes. Juan raised the issue of.